Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind me, keep me, Lord, in your grace, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Do you? Do you feel that? Prone to leave the God I love. This is not just a song. This is life. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. I can say not only with the author of this song, but it's true for all of us, that if it were possible for us to lose our salvation, we all would have lost it long ago. It's true. We all would have lost it long ago. Why did you this morning, as John Piper asked one time, why did you wake up a Christian? The answer is because of God. Because of God, you are a Christian today. You are alive and sustained by grace. He keeps us in our faith and in the days ahead. So oftentimes, when it comes to our theology in this church and those who are like-minded with us as we read the Bible, we emphasize that we are indeed secure. We are secure in Christ. But sometimes we don't enough emphasize the call in the Scripture to persevere in the faith. And so what I want to do is make sure that we see both of these clearly today. It is true indeed that we are secure, eternally so, in Christ. But we are also required to persevere in faith. And there are loads of passages that make this very clear to us. And so I kind of feel like preaching the sermon, it's like driving down Double Ditch Road in Linden, right? There are some huge ditches on either side of this. And if we fall off this side or that side, we are in the weeds big time. Our job today is from the Word to stay straight with the Word and understand the and that connects these together. They're both in Scripture, and we are to believe and practice both of these realities. Let's go to Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. That's our anchor text today. Listen to the writer of Hebrews as he encourages this church. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. And you're like, oh man, I thought I was secure in Christ. Now I'm reading in Hebrews that it's possible that I would fall away from the living God, fall away from the faith, lose my salvation. No, that's not what he's saying. Read on. I just would say this. How much terrible theology is built because the reader stopped too soon, right? Keep reading. The context always answers so much of the question. So it's possible that there would be in some who are hearing this message an evil, unbelieving heart that would lead them to fall away from the living God. That is not to lose their salvation. That is to reveal that they are not saved. To reveal that they're around the believers, even in the church with the believers, but an evil, unbelieving heart is not the heart of one who is in Christ and truly saved. So he goes on to explain. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So it's possible to experience that. It's possible to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then he says this, for we have come to share in Christ, we are true Christians, we are believers, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. So how is it that true believers are shown to be true believers? Perseverance. That's how. They persevere in the faith. Perfectly? No. No. But unto the end, they will persevere. It's not going to be a straight line. There may be seasons of rebellion or wandering here or there. But at the end of the day, God in his grace will keep them and they will persevere with Christ, come what may, regardless of what they may face. So, persevering faith in Christ is taught. It's a requirement of Scripture. It's a requirement for you, Christian. You must persevere in faith. And at the very same time, promised eternal security is yours, Christian, today. It is a reality over your life. And sometimes we see theological traditions choose one to focus on to the exclusion of the other, or this one over here to the exclusion of that. And so I want to just show some of the dangers of that, the dangers of either or when it comes to perseverance and security. It is not our freedom to choose to say, well, I want this, but not this. I want security, but I'm not really interested in perseverance. What does that look like? I want security. I just want to be secure in Christ, but I'm not really interested in any of these verses that talk about this perseverance that's required of me. This would be what I would call the presumptuous Christian. And maybe in this case, Christian would be in quotes, because someone who lives long in this place may indeed not be saved. It may be worthy of caution for someone who would be in this position. This may be how it would sound for someone who would say, I think very little of the persevering part, and I think only of the security part. They could say, well, once saved, always saved, right? Which, let's be clear, that's true. That's true. I want to just let it be known. If you are truly saved, you are saved eternally. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But sometimes people will take that and wield it against the Lord, as if to justify a life that sounds like this. It doesn't matter if I sin. God has to forgive me, right? I am elect. I can't mess it up. He chose me. I'm His, and I can live however I want. Now, I may not be living like it now, but I trusted Jesus years ago. I got the fire insurance. I'm secure no matter what I do. That's not good. That's the sound of what I would call hyper-Calvinism. That is messed up theology. That is the hyper of Calvinism. It takes something good and makes it wrong and messed up. It's not in the Bible. It wants us to go to Romans 6 and say, well, should we sin it up that grace may abound? And the answer is, may it never be, right? Absolutely not. Well, I heard on the radio that God loves me unconditionally, so I can live however I want. Friend, if you're out there and these are your thoughts, or you've kind of patterned your life in this place, I want you to hear this sermon from my heart in love today as a warning to you. I want to caution you. I want to call you to account for verses that need to be on your radar. Because this is not the sound of one who loves Christ and is committed to persevering in obedient faith and to the end, counting the cost. Okay, false confidence is what this can lead to. If you only focus on security and you never see the calls to persevere, you can actually be walking through the Christian life with false confidence. Well, I walked the aisle when I was a kid. I raised my hand. I'm not really interested in Jesus now, but I'm supposed, they said I got the stuff, so it's all good, right? No, no. Not if your life has absolutely no display of love for Christ, of persevering faith, of counting the cost. Now, the other side of this equation, the other ditch that might be fallen into would be the insecure Christian. I've met a number of people who are in this place. And they're like, listen, I don't know. I don't know that anyone could really be sure that if they were to die today, they would be going to heaven. You can't know. You can't know. They're insecure. This is the he loves me, he loves me not version of theology, right? On a given day, well, he loves me today. Yes, it's awesome. And then the next day, you're like, whoa, I messed up bad. I don't think he loves me. This is the insecure Christian, and this is bad theology at work. It's destructive. There are entire denominations that believe and practice kind of in this vein. And I would say for those, there are loads of scripture verses that address that error and correct it biblically. Someone who might be in the insecure Christian category would say, well, Jesus gave me salvation, but it's up to me to keep it. Like Jesus did the work to save me, but I have to keep me saved, right? I have to keep doing enough good that the Lord approves of me. And if I mess up bad enough or I walk away and turn my back, then I could lose the salvation that I have today. Sometimes you talk to folks and they're like, well, I was saved like 40 times. I've been saved over and over and over. And you're like, no, that's not possible. That's literally not a biblical category. You can't pass from death to life and then back to death. It's an impossibility. Now, if you're a child and you want to just make sure that you're a Christian, I understand that, right? That makes sense to me. Lord, I love you. I'm going to say this prayer from my heart to yours. I want you to know I'm turning from my sin. I'm trusting you, Jesus, that I get that. But know this, there is a moment in time where a true believer passes from death to life, and that is an eternal change. It's irreversible. It is certain and sure, and it is yours today, Christian. I think he loves me today, but I don't know about tomorrow. This leads to fear. It leads to a life of Christian walk with no confidence, really, at the end of the day. And actually, more scary, it leads to a performance type of Christianity, where I feel good about where I stand with the Lord on the basis of my performance, not on the basis of Christ and what he has accomplished for me. Our focus in the Christian life is the gospel. We never move on. It is the gospel from day one all the way to the day we die or he calls us home in the rapture. It's beginning to end gospel. So let's go then to our statement of faith here where we address this. I love how this is captured in this statement. Listen to these words. We believe and teach at Good Shepherd that all sinners who are sovereignly regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit are genuinely, securely, and eternally saved. They are sealed by God's Spirit, washed by God's Word, kept by God's promise, and held by God's power as they, listen to the perseverance piece, as they live their lives in persevering faith unto the end, sustained by grace. So when we reach the end, and we have counted the cost, and whatever has been required by faith, we have trusted and said, Lord, you are worth it. You are worth it. We cling to you no matter what we lose. We get to the end. We don't say, well, I persevered, right? So let me in. We say, it is all of grace that I am here. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You kept me, and I persevered because of it. It's the both and. So let's build this out a little bit. First, let's look at the requirement of our perseverance. And my guess is that this side of the and hasn't really been as much in view for a number of us in our theological circles. We tend to think a little bit more of the security piece, but I want to emphasize today this requirement of perseverance. Look again at Hebrews 3. Note the author is writing to the church, to those who may be in there, and he says, lest there, take care, be watchful, be on the alert, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Now, how would that happen? He's writing to the church. Well, it's very possible, according to Hebrews 6, to be in the church, to be a member of the church, to witness the power of God working and moving, to be caught up in the things that God is doing, and to be completely without life in your soul, such that you would, at the end of your life, stand before the Lord, and he would say, depart from me, I don't know you. Evil, unbelieving heart, worker of lawlessness. It's not enough to be in church. You got to know this. The walk with Christ is a personal relationship. It is between you and Jesus. It's not between your parents and Jesus. It is between you and Jesus, or your spouse, or your brother or sister, anyone else. It's where do you stand with Jesus today? Exhort one another. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It means it's possible for people to be caught up in sin and led astray. It's possible for even believers to have a season of rebellion, to be enticed by, tripped up by an allurement of sin, a season of rebellion where they go. And the call here is exhort one another. So if you see someone heading off into the weeds and they're going off into the ditch, then go after them. Chase down the strays, as it were. Look for those who might be enticed into this deceitfulness of sin and come alongside. Brother, help me understand what's going on here. Well, what is the promise that the sin is offering you? Let me just point to you. It won't deliver. Let me point you back to obedience and faithfulness to Christ. Trust Him. Obey Him. Find your pleasure here. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For this is what the Christian life looks like. Faithfulness. Perfection? No. No, it's not perfection, but it is perseverance in obedient faith. To the end. To the end. Why would someone shrink back? Why would someone be tempted to turn their back on Christ? Well, I've seen a number of people who have heard the prosperity gospel, right? That the promise that come to Jesus and everything's going to be awesome. He's going to give you everything you've ever lacked. Your life is going to be perfect. Your relationships are going to just flourish. Your business is going to make you rich, right? And then times get hard. Partly we've got to realize that Jesus never promised a life of ease. He actually promised the opposite. He said, when you come to Christ, it's going to get harder, but I'll be with you until the end. That's the difference. I'll be with you. There's somewhere you can go with this pain, this hurt. So when Jesus told the parable of the soils, remember? He's sowing the seed of the gospel. The sower sows the seed. And there was that soil where it sprang up, but it was a shallow soil. And just beneath the surface, there was rocks. And as the heat and scorching sun came out, that what looked like life just withered and died. It didn't persevere. So what is that? That's not someone losing their salvation. That is, the gospel has not rooted in such a way that true life happened. Where there is true roots in the gospel, there will be fruit on the branches of that life, even in the face of suffering and persecution. What will it look like? Well, here's one thing it must look like. It must look like, I cling to you, Jesus. Where else would I go? Where else am I going to turn? What other rock is like the rock of our God? Who would we run to? Even when we see unbelief in our life, like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What are we doing in that moment? Persevering. We're running to Him. Again, this is not going to be perfect, but it is going to be a persevering display of God's love and kindness in our life. You say, but Pastor, I know someone who was in the church for years, and I'm telling you, it really seemed like they were a Christian, and now they want nothing to do with the Lord. They've completely denied the gospel. They've turned their back on Christ. So what about that? What do we make of that? I'm almost certain they lost their salvation. Well, according to the scriptures, that's not possible. This is what 1 John 2:19 reads. John says this, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have persevered in faith. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. So those who turn their back on Christ and hit the doors and they don't look back. Now, let's be careful here. We don't just automatically throw in the white, you know, the towel or wave the flag. Well, I guess it's over. No, we keep praying. We keep praying because we know that God can soften the hardest heart. But if they persevere in faithlessness, if they persevere in hard-heartedness to Christ, then they were not of us to begin with. No one has lost their salvation ever. Note that. No one has ever lost salvation. It's an impossibility. I'll show you in the second half of this why that's impossible. Listen to how Colossians 1 goes. Just so you see the call to persevere in faith, there's so many passages. You who are once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. I love that. That's what he has called forth and assigned as our destiny. Ephesians 1 speaks to this as well. Our assigned destiny is holy. He will bring us into a perfect holiness, blameless before him. And then look at the condition here. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. And you say, well, that's not a real condition. Well, it certainly reads that way. It certainly reads that way. I'll give you another example. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. That's the sanctifying work. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Well, there it is. If you hold fast, that's if you persevere in faith. Stay on the gospel. Don't go anywhere else. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 22. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Well, who is the one who endures to the end? The Christian, who is held by Christ. And that holding of Christ manifests itself in a persevering, tenacious faith by his grace, sustained all the way to the end. Who reminded us in the Great Commission that he would indeed be with us to the end? This Jesus, our Savior. 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 to 13, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. So who does Paul have in view? The elect, God's chosen from before the foundations, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then he says this, this saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. Promise. That's a promise. And then he says another promise. If we endure, that is persevere in faith, we will also reign with him. That's a promise. But here too is a promise. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And I want to clarify here that this is not just a moment in time denial, right? You got to think about Peter, right? Three times he denied. And who initiated the restoration process there? It wasn't Peter. It was Jesus. He keeps. And Peter was restored. So this is the nature of this denial is, I'm turning my back on Christ. I am done. I'm walking away. I want nothing to do with him. And a perseverance in that. If you go there, you can't meet with the Lord at the end of your life and expect to be in Christ. You can expect fire forever. And then Paul says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Now, if there was a period there, we would be like, oh, well, okay, that's good news. So we don't have to persevere in faith. That's not what he's saying. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He is faithful to himself. He is faithful to his righteousness. If we do not walk in faith, we will not live with him forever. It is faithlessness that brings fire, and God is faithful to do as he has decreed will be done. Now, I would add this, if you are his chosen, he will bring you because he is the supplier of the faith. Isn't that good news? No one here in this room brought faith to the table. God brought it to us as a gift of his grace. So even the faith that saves is a gift of his grace. Hebrews 10:35-39, therefore do not throw away that confidence of yours. You're going to need this, right? Which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Now just stop there and read this personally, right? You need endurance, Christian. You need to know this. You need to have this. You've got to have this on your radar. It's not enough to say, well, I'm secure. You are secure to endure whatever may come your way, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. If you want to see those who are righteous, look for faith in Christ. A tenacious, persevering faith. Well, once I raised my hand way back in the day, and it doesn't really mean anything now. That's not what it sounds like to be righteous in Christ. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So persevere. We are not of those who shrink back, though, right? He's talking to believers. But of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. See the requirement of persevering faith in Christ. We are not saved by works, right? We're going to see this in James. True faith, true saving faith, is going to show itself in persevering unto the end. We are saved by grace through faith, and that is a faith that is grace-enabled, that will not falter in the face of persecution and trial. It's feeble, right? Strengthen my faith. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast, right? When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. So know this, that persevering faith is grace dependent, but it is required. It is required. Now, the place of warning in the perseverance of the saints, the place of warning, sometimes people say, you know, I don't know that it's right for pastors to warn. And you've heard me say this a number of times. When we warn from the Word of God, we're loving you. This is a loving warning that goes to all of us. We all need, believers need the warnings of God. It would be like a coach from the sidelines shouting out to the players, guys, don't do that. If you do that, we're going to lose the game. Do this instead, right? And we're going to win. We're going to win the game. That's not unsure. It's certain. We're going to win because we're in Christ. But the warnings of Scripture are means that God uses to accomplish the win, the perseverance of our faith. Let me give you a couple examples of God's loving warnings. So then, brothers, if we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for, here's a real conditional if you live according to the flesh, you will perish, right? Die. You will be in hell. Okay? That's a fact. That's a fact, even if you have a fish on the bumper of your car. Right? It's a fact. But if, real if, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You're like, well, that sure sounds like works salvation, like I'm earning myself. No. You know, we don't fall in that ditch. Stay on the road. Who are those who, by the Spirit, go to war with sin? Saved people. People who are in Christ. People who are alive in Christ. People who have life. They will go to war with sin. So, here is a loving warning that meets everybody within its hearing. This is God's love for us, to call us out of the dark, to walk in the light. Sometimes it gets very real. You sit down with someone and they're like, oh, I just can't forgive. What that person did, I cannot forgive. I won't do it. And you got to understand, sometimes in pastoral counseling, that may be where we begin, okay? But you will never hear me say, that's okay. You don't have to forgive. that would actually be hate for the person. I just can't forgive them. Well, here's the problem with that. The Bible requires you to forgive. The commandments of Scripture require us to forgive. How would Jesus counsel someone who was in that place? Listen to how he would respond. With a warning, a threat even, in love. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if, real condition, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Wow. But you don't understand. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm secure. Jesus would be like, prove it. Right? Show that you are held in the forgiveness of God by the fruit of forgiveness in your life. That's how it shows itself. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart, if you walk in bitterness, if you choose to coddle and create space for sin and you're not at odds with it, you are denying the claim of the gospel over your life. It is important that we reckon with these things because false assurance has actually met a lot of people in the fires of hell. And we don't want at this church for people to go through their life with false assurance. We want you to know where you stand with Christ. And one of the ways you can find out is by looking at the fruit of your life. If you don't forgive, then it's right to look inside and say, okay, hold on now. I'm being inconsistent with who I am as a forgiven saint, all of grace. He has forgiven me. As you've been forgiven, so also you must forgive. And if you don't, you will go to hell. Just put it like, I mean, that's what Jesus is saying. If you don't forgive, if you won't do it, then you're proving that you're not of us. You're proving that you're not in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean it comes easy. You have to tenaciously pray for this. You have to work toward this. Sometimes it is just a dependence. Lord, I want to do it, but I just need you to help me get there. I'm fighting it. We get that. Obedience isn't always easy, but it is required. Perseverance in obedient faith. We'll just say this as well. Not all who wander are lost. Sometimes in the church, when we see people run off into rebellion, we're too quick to say, well, they probably were never saved. I would guard against that, just pastorally here, as if to be like, oh, well, whatever. No, don't give up. Don't write off. It may be that God is instructing and teaching and using a season of rebellion in that person's life to show them the glory of the gospel in a way they would never know otherwise. Not to say that it's endorsed, rebellion is never good, but God can bring good out of even our decisions to sin. So not all who wander are lost, but I would add, if you persevere in wandering, you may prove that you have never been found. The person who continues in wandering, continues with their face set against the Lord, their heart against him, well, it's right for the brothers to gather around. Oh, hold on now. Hold on. Let me just encourage you away from the deceitfulness of sin, lest there be an evil, unbelieving heart in you. I'm concerned about you. Don't stay there and prove that you were never found. So we've got to be wise in how we engage these things, but not diminish the reality that it is indeed possible to run to the fires of hell out the front door of the church. If you persevere in your sin, you will go to hell, to put it shortly. That's a fact. If you persevere If you cling to it, you hold to it. This is what I want. This is where I'm going. I'm turning my back on what I know is right and true. I will persevere in this. Then you'll go to hell. For those who would in Christ, who are saved, who would go into a rebellion and then die, what do we make of that? Right? What is that? How does that fit? Well, God can take you home in discipline. He can take your life. 1 Corinthians, we read that some have grown sick. Some have even died because of the way they were being irreverent with the Lord's Supper. That's discipline of God. And if you're going to drag his name and his glory through the mud with a dead set rebellion against him, he may just take you home. And in that, help you to finish your rebellion in a way that you hadn't planned. So know this. There is security, but there is also a call to persevere. There's a call to persevere. And we can't just lightly move through this stuff. We've got to really, really engage these warnings of Scripture. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters or adulterers, or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, or drunkards, or revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Let's be clear. Persevering in those things. They're living in a settled and ongoing way. Not repenting of those things. Living in those places. They're going to hell. I love how when you continue reading, though, verse 11 meets us. Paul says to the church in Corinth, such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed. The power of the gospel has changed you from who you were. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There is forgiveness for sin. No one in this room has sin in their life that is too much for Christ to forgive. No one. The gospel is greater. His grace is greater. So run to him in repentance. Don't persevere in sin. Embrace him and trust him and turn away from sin. Now, the certainty of our security. So, first, the requirement of our perseverance, and second, the certainty of our security. And this may be more familiar to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, shall not perish. It's not going to happen. That's a promise. But what are they going to have? They're going to have eternal life. Not just when they die. So Christian, today you have eternal life. God has promised you eternal life. God would be a liar if there was some way that would not be eternal. It doesn't say you'll have life pretty much, hopefully, as long as you don't mess up too bad. No, it says have it, eternal life. It's yours in Christ. John 6, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. I love this chapter. Jesus says this, all. Key word there, all, every single one that the Father gives me will come to me. Well, who are those that the Father gives to the Son? That's the elect that he chose, wrote names in his book, actual people with actual names and a litany of sins. He chose them before the foundations of the earth, and he gave them to his Son to redeem. They will all come to me. They will come to me. Why? Because the Father draws them. And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. That is your Savior talking about you. I will never cast out the one who comes. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You want to know what his will is? Here it is. That every single person that he has given me, I lose nothing. I will not lose a single one of his chosen, but I will raise it or them, the elect, every single person up on the last day. So Look at the span of this redemptive work. He chose them. He gave them to me. I will lay my life down on the cross to ransom them, secure them. The Spirit will apply that salvation to them. I will keep them, and I will raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Who is the everyone there? Everyone that God draws to the Son. And that's everyone that he has chosen of his free will. And I myself, Jesus says, will raise him up on the last day. That's you, Christian. That's you. He's Jesus, your Savior, is going to raise you on the last day. When that trumpet sounds and we fire through the roof, or if we're already dead and gone, when we come bursting out of that grave, your body will be raised. John 10, a passage that means very much to our church, Good Shepherd Bible Church. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. I know my own. Who are his own? That's the elect that he has been given by the Father. My own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So for whom did Jesus die? Question answered right there. He died for the chosen. He died for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them what kind of life? Eternal life. Unending life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Oh, what a comfort that is to hear from our shepherd, the overseer of our souls. What confidence. Jesus in John 17, I am praying for them. That is, the elect. He says, I'm not praying for the world. He said, Jesus isn't praying for every single person. He says, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, Father, and yours are mine. I am glorified in them, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Listen to Jesus' prayer for us. Holy Father, keep them. Keep them in your name. So your Father in heaven keeps you, your Savior in Jesus keeps you, and the Spirit is a seal upon your life, Christian, that you are his forever. It is a Trinitarian preservation of God's chosen. Those whom he predestined, he called, that is called to life. And all those that he called, he also justified, declared righteous. And every single one that he justified, he also glorified. That's the finish line, friends, believers. That's the finish line. That means that if you're a Christian today, you are always going to be a Christian throughout all of eternity. You're his. It's a past tense, glorified. It's as good as done. Romans 9:16, so then it, that is salvation, depends not on human will or exertion. It's so important to notice this. You don't keep you saved. God keeps you saved as you persevere in faith. It, that is salvation, depends not on human will or exertion, work, but on God who has mercy. I am sure of this, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That's God. He started the work in eternity past when he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, God the Father. And all of the work that has happened since then that has led you to the place where you are saved today, which means that it is a certain reality for your life. You will always be his. He has loved you with an everlasting love. You will meet him in glory and delight in him forever, all by grace. 1 Peter, this is the call to worship. 1 Peter 1, I'll finish this here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. Don't ever forget that. We don't deserve this. None of us deserve this. It's all mercy. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Did you choose to be born? Was there a button in the womb that you were like, okay, mom, I'm ready. Birth me. No, that was nothing to do with you. Did your mom choose? Well, for most of you, no, right? And it was a C-section or something. But natural childbirth is of the Lord. It happens when He decides. The same is true with your salvation. God caused you to be born again. And Alex built this out last week beautifully. He freed your will to embrace Him. He opened your eyes. He lit up your soul with life. He caused you to be born again to what? To a living hope. What's the nature of this living hope? Well, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to an inheritance that is imperishable. You can't lose it. It's undefiled. It's holy and perfect. It's unfading. It's not growing old. And it's kept for you in heaven. And you, by the way, who by God's power are being garrisoned, guarded, kept. How? Through faith that perseveres. You are being held, preserved, kept through a persevering faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's true of you today, Christian. All of those things. So, let that be a reassuring encouragement for those who would be insecure or uncertain about whether they can truly know that they are saved. John MacArthur sums up the "and" in a really succinct way. I love how he says it. Any idea of salvation that leaves out security is a distortion of the truth. And any idea of security that leaves out perseverance is a distortion of the truth. We are secure because we possess a persevering eternal life. So, Christian, you must persevere in faith, and you will, because He who holds you will never let you go. What an encouragement that is. So our response this morning, take care, brothers. Are there any here who have an evil, unbelieving heart? Are there any in this room who walked in here today and your heart is not set in faith, trusting the Lord as your Savior? Anyone who here today needs to hear the call, turn from your sins. Stop running away. Turn your back on the world and the darkness and all of this rebellion. Aren't you tired of it? Don't you want to find rest for your soul? Listen, there is a Savior who forgives. Run to Him. Cry out to Him. Save me. Save me. Make me yours forever. I need you to be my Savior, my Lord, my treasure, my hope alone. Good news, friends, the door of salvation is open today. May this be the day of your freedom that begins now and never ends through all of eternity. Run to Jesus. Are there any people in your life that you need to chase, to go and lovingly exhort, encourage? Listen, don't run away. Don't rebel. Don't harden your heart in the deceitfulness of sin. It's not worth it. That, you know, take my advice. Don't do what I did. Don't go down that road. Trust me. Turn from your sins. Walk with Christ. Persevere. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. I know you're having to count your count the losses and count the cost and take up your cross, but it's worth it. Who can you come alongside with and encourage today? We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our confidence, our original confidence in Him, in the gospel, firm to the end. So I want to warn the presumptuous and reassure the insecure with the "and" today from God's word. Listen to how Jude finishes. Now to Him who is able to keep you, believers, to keep you from stumbling, that is, unto death, to perish, keep you from perishing, and to present you blameless. He is able to keep you and to present you blameless before His presence with glory and great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever, where we're going to be with Him. delighting in him, and saying, amazing grace, grace from the beginning to the end, soli Deo Gloria, to you, O Lord. You never let us go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe of your preserving grace. Thank you that you keep us. Thank you for your invincible grip. Thank you that you don't save us and then make it upon us to keep us in life with you. Thank you that you never will let us go. And Lord, that you will provide all the grace we need to persevere unto the end, no matter how hard it gets. Oh Lord, thank you for your patience with us. We are prone to wander, and oh, we feel it. If it wasn't for you, we would leave you. Thank you for keeping us in you and not letting us go. Lord, strengthen our faith to persevere in faith. Strengthen our love for you, to hold fast to you above any other love. Convict us of any idol that would seek to creep in or take your place. Lord, hold us fast until the end, we pray. Cause our faith to persevere in you. Help our eyes to look nowhere else. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.